Our Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the precious word of God. We're fixing to open at this time. And we pray, Lord, that you'd give us the ability to not only understand it, but present it. Give us the unction, the power that's needed in this hour, Lord. And give us something that when we leave this place, it will help us to be a better child of God, to promote the kingdom of God in this last days for the glory of God. Lord, help us to see the only thing that really matters in this life is what we do for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated. Take your Bible to start with and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. I'll read a couple Old Testament scriptures and go to the New Testament and I'll give you the subject. Notice the Solomon said in chapter 12, verse 1, "Whoso loveth instructions loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is Brutus." Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is Brutus. Verse 5, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit." Look with me in chapter 14, verse 5, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." In verse 12 of that same chapter 14, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Notice that God is saying through Solomon, there's a right way, there's a wrong way. And he always gives us information that God sets forth the right way. We have the right to look to God to influence us, to help us understand the right way. And then he warns if one is not involved with the right way, there's a consequence. And there's a suffering for that, for doing the wrong thing. Notice also, if you will, look over in Daniel chapter 2 with me. In Daniel chapter 2. I want to read, I'd like to read down about verse 21 and 22. First, in verse 19, he says the latter part of that verse, "Bless the God of heaven." And then look, 20 said, and Daniel answered it at verse 20, and Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord for name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Verse 21, "And he changed the times and the seasons." Speaking about this God that he said blessed in verse 19 and 20. "He changed the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise." I mentioned that a few weeks ago. "He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He giveth wisdom to the wise." And I said to you the other night when I referred to this verse at the time that it amazes me that God says that. I said it looks like that God would have said, "I give the wisdom to those who are stupid and don't know much." But he says, "No, I give wisdom to the wise." Now, it means that if a person will be wise and believe in what God has to say, they're going to be a lot smarter in the things of God than they would if they don't believe what God has to say. But if you don't believe what God has to say, he's not going to tell us anything anyhow much. If we got to carry it on as he gives it to us. He said, "Knowledge to them that knoweth understanding." And I believe God invests in his people, his word. And I believe he sees a heart that really hungered to understand it and will be willing to pay the price that's needed to proclaim it. God said, "I'll give wisdom to the wise. I'll make you more wiser and more wiser and more wiser. And I'll give understanding to them that know understanding." Now, to have that understanding, how does God deal with us? I turn with me, if we will, over to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to give you the title of the message and go from there tonight. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. The writer said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth." Now, he's talking about not just the unsaved here and the saved before, right and wrong. Now, he's come to the house of God. And he's talking about his sons. You can't be a son of God just unless you're born again into the family of God. He's talking about those who knows what it is to be born again. He's talking about those who Romans chapter 10, verse 9, "If thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 10, "With the heart man believes in the righteous, confession in the mouth made unto salvation." He's talking about those who have called upon the name of the Lord, those who've been born again. And he's telling us something about our relationship with him as God the Father. And thank God. I'm so glad to understand in the age of grace We have a relationship with God the Father. There's no fear there unless we disobey Him. No more than there's a fear to a mother and dad in this life unless you disobey a physical mother or dad. There has to be consequences for disobeying in the physical world and the spiritual world. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourges every son whom He receiveth. Now, the word chasten here means the infliction of calamities for something that is wrong. Now, I heard back a few years ago, one of the major charismatics evangelists on television say that God didn't chase His children today. He didn't have to because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, we need to cut that out then, don't we? Because it says plainly He does. Now, if He does chasten us, there must be some things that we don't do exactly right. Because there's no need, He tells Father, there's no need to chasten a child in an earthly family if he doesn't do something right. And yet He says, and watch what, as we go through this, He says in verse 10, sometimes an earthly father are chastened just because they don't feel good. Note, He said, for the Lord loveth whom He chastens, scourges every son whom He has received. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? Boy, I'm sure glad He wrote that, aren't you? I don't know exactly when the chastening hand may be felt as for the Lord, but I've been through a lot of troubles in my Christian life of 52 years from time to time. And if God was using that to chasten me, I know one thing, some of those things made me better, so it had to be a chastening hand in the flesh. He helped me understand Him more. I don't know about you folks, but the older I get, I'm understanding. Walking with God is different than what the world looks at. I tell you, I'd be closer to God when things are not so well and I'm down and out and physically sick than I am when I'm wealthy and feeling good. Wealth has a tendency to take people from God. But I tell you, wealth will cause a person to think they can do something in their own energy and don't even need God necessarily. Don't have to be that way, but I've said it can do that, and that's the reason Paul told Timothy so much about wealth. But listen, if you ever get to the place that you are physically something wrong, you'll run to God. I've said it 100 times, and I've said 100 times more. God's people run to God for help when they realize there's nothing else can help them. And a lot of times they should start doing that before they get to the point they think nothing else is going to help. But he said, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. But if you be without chastisement, notice the positive and negative is. If you be without chastisement, he said, whereof are you all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Then he gives a comparison. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we give them reverence shall we not much more be subject to the fathers of spirit and live? Now, not a one of us in here, I don't care who you are, hadn't had to have the correcting hand of our earthly father. I don't see a one in here that's so perfect your mother and dad never had to punish you. I don't care how old you are. There may be less punishment now than years ago, but I'll tell you that some of the product of years ago is much better when parents really took that and said, I'm going to do what God gives me the ability to do, and show that there are consequences for disobedience. And he goes on, he said, for they, that is these fathers who that actually correct us after the flesh, he said, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. The writer is setting forth, there's sometimes a mother and dad may not feel just exactly right, and then one thing may not be so bad, at another time, by that time, it became worse because of the way a person felt. Don't God know? God knows us better than we know ourselves. And there's not a parent in here, and seeing sometimes that you felt, I'm a little bit too harsh today on that. I should have backed off a little bit. And there's other times you said, I won't harsh enough. If you've got children, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, after their own pleasure. But notice, not God. God always does it. Watch, he says, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening. For the present seems to be joyous. Boy, I know what that is. Every time. I know that, you know, a parent sometimes say it hurts me more, hurts you. But if you've been chasing, it don't feel like it does. It's much easier to swing a switch than it is to be the other end of that switch. Amen? If you ever had one, or belt, or whatever one we use is. Now, no chasing for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God is saying that works in the family of the physical flesh, and it works in the family of God. Except when God does chasing of any kind, ladies and gentlemen, it's always for our good. I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight on Christian discipline. Christian discipline. Christian discipline is God's correcting hand, if and when He ever has to bring it to one of His children. And you can't preach the whole counsel of God without preaching that in the Bible it talks about there's times that God's correcting hand has to be upon his children. There's a time that he's going to set correction for the unsaved, but that's at the great white throne judgment. They're being judged for their sin. Our sins are under the blood if we confessed it. But there's times that we do not be and perform like we should in the light of knowledge. We usually like to, though, as individuals, we usually like to associate ourselves with people who praise us or celebrate us. We like praise. That's pride in all of us. We'd rather be praised than to be ridiculed or talked down at. We feel that what we do is always right. We want praise, especially if someone tells you did something wrong. Amen? Thank you, Preacher Ennis. Amen. Everyone else here, listen, we feel. There's not many times we don't feel like we did something right. If someone calls it to our attention that something's wrong, we feel that we did something right. Because we cannot judge ourselves like we should without bias. And it's simple that. No one likes for their mistakes to be pointed out. If anyone does point out our mistakes, we tend to dislike that person. Amen? Someone points your mistakes out and say, "Boy, I'll tell you what, I love you to death. Thank you. Praise the Lord." And then if you do that when you get home or get away from you, saying, "Lord, take care of that person for me." Amen. I mean, this is where we're at. You know, this Bible is so simple and it's practical. God understands us better than we understand ourselves. And he gives us information based on what he knows about us. And he said, if you'll listen and bring that in subjection, you'll be surprised what it would do for you. If anyone points out our mistakes, we dislike that person. What does the Bible say about correction? Why do we need correction? Who can correct us as far as a person? How do we deal with receiving correction? Go back to Proverbs with me in chapter 12. And notice what I read to you to begin with. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, Solomon said, "Who loveth instruction loveth knowledge." Did you know who loveth instruction means it's discipline? To love instruction is for discipline. Who loveth discipline, notice, he says, loveth knowledge. That is, you've learned something from that. It might have felt bad, but you've learned something from that. And you know, anytime we can learn something, that can be a great help to us. Notice he said, "But he that hateth reproof is brutish." In other words, he that hateth reproof. Reproof is correction. When we have the corrected information given to us, that is something. He said, if you hate that, it's brutish. The word brutish sets forth that it's sensuous, irrational, brute, stupid. It's stupid to hate someone who does something to try to help us. And by the way, God never has no other meaning to try to help us. Some people might take hold of something, don't know anything about it, and try to destroy us. God never tries to destroy us. He's always wanting to help us, even if he has to bring a correcting hand to us in this life. But he that hateth reproof, correction is brutish. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, turn there with me just a moment. It's interesting. Notice what Jeremiah says in chapter 10 about this. Jeremiah knew that if he needed correction, God would do it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, God has a series of things that comes to us about correcting in things if it's wrong. And if we don't listen to those things, God himself will correct us. Notice what Jeremiah said. He said, "O Lord," in verse 23, "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." We don't direct all of our steps. We think we do. Sometimes the flesh takes over and directs us. Here's where our direction should come from, the mind. But sometimes the flesh will direct us, control us, lead us, and we follow along behind it. He said, watch. He said, "Walk to direct his step." Oh, Lord, Jeremiah says, "Oh, Lord, correct me." Isn't that interesting? Correct me. But watch. "But with judgment, not in thy anger." Lord, correct me in judgment, not in thy anger. He says, watch. "Lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out your fury upon the heathen that know thee not." If he's going to shoot your anger, pour it out on the heathen. But Lord, correct me. Notice he said, "but with judgment." That is a wonderful verse of scripture. Don't do it in anger, what Jeremiah is saying, "but with judgment, lest thou bring me to nothing." Isn't it wonderful that Jeremiah could talk to God this way? He could say, Lord, don't you? I know how great you are. I know how wonderful you are, but I know how great you are. I know that there is a terrible thing to fall in the hands of God for anything that has to be reproved for. He said, do it in judgment, not in anger. And it interesting, you say, well, would God do that? Well, I'll tell you one thing, God hates sin. Did you know that? God hates sin. God loves a sinner, but God hates sin. And so Jeremiah is praying this prayer, Lord, I know the way of a man is not in himself. He thinks it is all the time, but it's not. There's things about us that before God that we cannot get in line without his help in this life. So our ways are not always right. Therefore, we need correction at times. Give you four quick things quickly as we hurry. Number one is this. At Christian discipline, every person needs correction at times. Every last one of us needs correction at times. Well, preacher, not me. Well, you don't need a Savior then. That surprise you? If we don't need correction, that means you're perfect. Amen? So everyone else has to have correction sometimes. All of us do at times. Perfection is not what we are in everything we do. A champion player cannot be a champion player in anything without a coach. The coach corrects the player towards a goal in his life. A president or prime minister has advisors. Why? They correct him. They guide him. They lead and help him through his speeches and other things in life. In life, we all need corrections at times. And yet, most husbands and wives and children and parents and people at work and the bosses and businessmen never think that they do anything wrong, especially if you tell them they do. Amen? Don't sit there like I'm giving something. I wish I was half as good as you folks look right now. This is down where we live at. Hey, as a matter of fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you know he's right. I know you're not going to do that, amen. The Bible is a book of correction. Every scripture is given to you and me for correcting our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17, a wonderful verse we say of the King James Bible is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is needed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we know that our Bible, the book of God, is given for correction. So again, all of us need correction at times. This book, and the preaching of this book will do that. You get in this book and you study it. And God will reveal things to you at times. Say, man, that shouldn't have went that way. It should have went another way. He gives us insight that we don't have in ourselves. Second, number two, why do we need correction? Correction, ladies and gentlemen, keeps you out of ignorance. Proverbs chapter 15, go back there with me and watch again. Chapter 15 and down about verse 5. Here's what God said. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. He's wise. That person who will listen to reproof in the right way that's godly is a wise person. Correction keeps you out of danger. The word despise means spurn or reject. God, listen to me. God gives parents the ability to sense danger for their children. I know sometimes it seems like, oh, you just hop on everything, mother and dad. No, God gives us an ability to sense danger. We have lived long. We've seen the world different. We've seen the eyes through your eyes and see the consequences of things where God has given us insight to be able to analyze things for children. And sometimes children don't understand when a parent says, no, it's not that they're trying, here, I'm the dumb one here. I'm your dad. That's not it, or I'm your mother. That's not it. We've seen things you don't see. And you've got to experience it before you understand what one is saying. So God gives the parents the ability to sense danger. Things that you cannot see are seen by those around you who love you. That's the thing. You and I are involved with something. We don't see everything. We miss some of the things. Again, correction removes ignorance. You'll be aware of the dangers ahead of you that you might have to face. And many times you have to learn those things. Correction keeps you out of ignorance. Number two, correction keeps you prosperous. Proverbs chapter 13, and you see down in verse 18, he says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. It keeps you prosperous. To ignore discipline brings poverty and shame, what God says. But whosoever heeds correction is honored. God sends a warning. God will always send someone in our lives to keep us in check if we are His children. God sends warnings before every fall. And if one does not correct themselves and hear that warning, they will fail. An example, that's beginning with our forefather Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were told to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they did. And in spite of the warning that they ignored the instructions of God, and their life became a life of poverty and shame, and they had to be cast out of the garden by God Himself. So correction keeps you out of ignorance, and correction keeps you prosperous. And the third thing, correction keeps you in the will of God. Probably more than anything else that you and I do. You know, it's so easy sometimes when we rut, study, and want God's will and submit to something and say, I want to do this, and it's just easy to do. And then all of a sudden, say, I don't know, I tried this, it's not working. But when God brings correction, it will keep you in God's will. There's something about it that changes your heart in looking at things, and He'll see that He'll make you wiser than you even thought you were. Proverbs 10, verse 17, open hearts towards God, correction will keep one in God's will. And that's what He's setting for. Look what He says. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. So we all need correction. Why do we need correction? It's because it keeps us out of ignorance. It also helps us keeps us prosperous in the things of God and in this world, because things in this of God will help us enjoy the things of the world more, because the things of the world won't get between us and God. And correction keeps you in God's will. The third thing I want to look at is, how does God correct us? In 2 Timothy, I just read to you, chapter 3, verse 16, 17, He corrects us by the Word of God. You read it, you study it, you hear it. It's going to do something to us. Like, I never go back there no more. All I do is get on my toes. I don't get on nobody's toes. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't know your heart. As far as I know here, one of you is just as close to the Lord as you can get. But I'd bet you we're not none of us as close as we should be. No, no, because this world takes its tag on us in this particular life by the Word of God. It says again that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, instruction in righteousness. Here is where God's children are corrected and directed by the Word of God. How, preacher? By reading it, by studying. You heard me say, I know it gets old. Get in the Bible each day. Have a time of spiritual nutrition in God's holy word. Listen to God's word preach. The word of God is how He corrects us. Not only does He correct us by the word of God, He sends others by times. God brings into our lives and to correct us. It could be a spouse, could be parents, children, friends, juniors, seniors, pastors, believers. There's people that come by our path at times. Or at least if you see someone do something, you know, that's something I should never do because I'm a child of God. By others whom God sends our way. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, we find the Apostle Paul correcting Peter. Can you imagine that? Peter is one of the main ones of the disciples when they had the 12 with Jesus. And now you see him correcting Peter. He said something, in paraphrase, I may say, Peter, listen. I mean, when you were with the Gentiles, you act like the Gentiles. But when those Jews came in, you left, went with the Jews as if the Gentiles didn't matter. And he reprimanded Peter for doing that. You know, Peter said some good things about Paul. He said, that's something you don't understand. But Peter never did rebuke back Paul for that. You know what? I believe God touched his heart and he said, you know, Paul was right. I did. Just because those Jews came in, I left the Gentile friends and went over there and palled with them as if that they were still not in part of the family of God. May we never rebel nor be offended when God corrects us through someone. We're corrected by God's word. We're corrected by others sometimes. They don't even know it. It might have been said that something they said, or get an illustration, or just when you were talking about the scriptures about something, God spoke to our heart at that time. And then if we don't listen to the word of God or someone he sends by our path, then God himself would do that. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God always speaks to us privately before he speaks to us publicly. God always somehow, if something comes our way, he's spoken to us many times privately in different ways before he has to come out publicly and say anything to us. If we fail to listen to the correction that God sends our way, then God will start dealing with us by correcting us himself. Now, there's people say, I don't believe that. I don't believe God corrects his children because I believe God is a loving, gracious God, and he does like the modern day, the day is. I know that they're children, they're just children, and I just want to let them get through that phase, and when they get through it, they'll be all right. A lot of children have been ruined because you let them get through a phase that was wrong and didn't up at least something that was wrong later. You know the motto of the day, don't correct a child, it's just a child. As a matter of fact, you can be locked, your children will be taken away from you, go too far to correct them. You know that? That's a shame in our day. Now, we're not talking about brutality here. A person who is brutal to their children, they don't need children. A parent who is brutal to their children don't need children. But on the other hand, a parent who loves their children, God said, will discipline them. Because they're like us, that there's times we need his discipline to us. Again, God corrects anyone. And when he corrects anyone, that person is concerned with no way to go, and it will be painful. God chastens his children, Hebrews 12. He tells us that. And if we're not chastened, he says, a good sign. Because not chastened is judgment. It's judgment. And the chastened hand is that which directs us in a way that worship be pleasing to God. And if you look with me, look in Jeremiah chapter 30 just a moment and watch what I showed you a few minutes ago, that where we see in Jeremiah chapter 10, he said, Lord, he said, correct me. Now he's talking to Israel in chapter 30, and watch verse 11. Here's what God says. When God starts to correct anyone, that person is concerned with no way to go except what God has to say. Verse 11, here's what he said. For I am with thee. I'm looking into Jeremiah chapter 30. For I am with thee, speaking to Israel, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. God said, I've used nations as a chastening rod to chasten Israel. And though they chasten Israel, there comes a time that I make a full end of those nations. He said, but in the chastisement, I'm never going to make a full end of Israel. Isn't that a great promise? That's the reason she's dominated today on the scene too. God's promise is still true. He said, I'm not going to make a full end of you. Boy, isn't that a wonderful thing? He said, will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure. God said to Israel, I love you so much that look how Israel broke his heart. Look how God had to send him into captivity. Look at times that he had to raise up another group. Even in the wilderness, he let 20 years old die because they refused to believe God. And the new generation that came up with after 40 years in the wilderness went into the promised land. But he says also, he said, yet will I not make a fool of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not lead thee altogether unpunished. I'll correct you in measure and be the loving hand of God, and you'll not go unpunished if you do not listen. The children of Israel, they began to not listen to God, and he began to correct them through their circumstances, through their enemies, and he humbled them. We need correction. Why do we need correction? Because it keeps us out of ignorance. We need it because it helps us prosper. It also keeps us in God's will. How does God correct us? By his word, by sending someone by God himself. Number four, then how to deal with that correction when it comes. And we're going to be on in just a minute. We need correction. Also, why do we need it? Because of who we are, even God's children. We're not talking about judgment here. We're talking about a loving hand. See, God's hand always had a great abundance of love underneath the correction. He lets us know that. How does God correct us? By his word and others, and also by himself. Then how to deal with that correction? Be willing to be corrected when you find yourself in the wrong. Do not destroy someone when they correct you accurately. Try to understand that you have a problem so you can deal with it, then be willing to correct it, and God will be honored and you'll be blessed. Never become bitter towards someone who tries to correct you in love. May I never. I have a lot of comments made about it. I have to weigh a lot of things. Barbara and I weigh a lot of things out. And there's some errors at times we have to say, well, maybe this is something I need to take a look at. If it's off the wall because someone just hates God, I just don't pay it no mind. But you have to evaluate everything. Where you work at, There's people watching you, your life. And there's a lot of things, no doubt, that's said you hear through the grapevine from time to time. There's no reason to have bitterness and resentment toward those who correct us if they do it in love. To begin to gossip about someone when they correct us in love is being offended without a cause at that time. If we do not listen when God is in it, He will start correcting us Himself. You know why? This just blesses my heart. Because He loves us. He loves us. There has never been a mother or dad who corrected their children that did any harsh correcting without loving them. That's all there is to it. Unless they were just mean as a dog, devilish. But there's never been in a Christian home where a parent corrected their child without loving them. And you can be sure we're children of God. And therefore, He loves us, even when He has to correct us from time to time. God uses correction to keep us in God's plan. He uses it to make us prosper. He uses it to keep us in God's will. And we want to pray, may God help us to keep a clean heart and a corrected spiritual attitude in our life until we get home in glory. How to deal with correction? Be willing to look at it, analyze it, and say, God, help me, and this is this summon for you. I remember one time a story of David, some of his men. There was a fellow who came out cussing David. And one of the men told David, because they loved David, this is in his interpretation, shall I cut his head off? And by the way, they'd have done it too. If David said, do it. I think his name is Shimei, something like that. In the Old Testament, he's cussing David. And one of his best loved men, shall I lift his head from his body? And David said, no, wait a minute. I don't know why this guy's doing this. It might be that God allowed this. David said, there may be something I need to look at why this God would act this way towards me. By the way, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we all need help, don't we? We all need help. We need help so bad. We don't have it all together all the time. We like to think we do, and we like to say we do. If we could see to each other what God sees in us, we'd be surprised. We'd be shocked, I bet. I bet. And God says we need discipline. And He said, keep in mind, you can't read His thoughts. You and I can't look at what God allows something to happen and read to say there's a reason for that. You and I don't know. We are not God. But I'll tell you this. God will never do no more than He has to. And when He does, the child of God will understand it afterwards, if not during it, because He does it for our learning. He does it for our knowledge. He does it to help us and realize that He's our Father. He's already judged us. He's already judged us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And He's declared us justified. He's declared us clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about that end of it. We're talking about a Father who loves His children and says, I love you enough to know that you're still in a body of flesh. I know that flesh. I know it's dust. It's going back to the ground. And therefore, there's things we need to know spiritually for that new man in us to help us bring this body in subjection, and we don't have it all together as of yet. Sometimes we hear God and do exactly what we should not do. There's a lot of folks, if we just knew, no one would ever convince me that God didn't mean for His children to tithe. You say, well, He didn't tell me. Well, He won't convince me. No one would ever convince me that God didn't mean not forsake yourself to assemble together in the house of God. You see, there's things that we can put on a pedestal, but there's things if we get looking at our road to where we're at, and we'll say, Lord, I need You. I need You. Father in heaven, I want to thank You tonight for this. I think it was a study. Maybe it's been helped me after 52 years, Lord, of serving You. I think of this book. It's everything that we need. And Lord, I thank You, as I understand that Christians need discipline and how God does that, we need correction. The Lord, why do we need correction? You've told us because it would help us in our ignorance. It would help us progress. It would help us to find God's will. How does God correct us? He does it by His precious word. He does it by sending others by our way. It could be a friend. It could be a message. It could be a song. He does it because of Him Himself when we fail to listen. How to deal with that? Dear God, let us be like David. We may not can see it, but let us say, Lord, If there's some reason that I needed this to grip me, grow, help me understand it. I'm not going to destroy this person if I can help it because they have said something. I'm going to do my best to learn from it. And if it's not true and you prove that to me, then I'll have to learn to love my enemy. And I can do that. Bless us tonight as we go back into that world and realize when it comes to discipline, there are some things we have to do. There may be somebody here tonight before they go, this week's over with, have to discipline themselves in something they need to do. They know they need to do it, but they have to discipline themselves to do that, what God has laid on their heart to do. Give us wisdom to have it, know how to handle it, and we'll thank you for that. Help this book be that which would give us food for this spiritual being, the new creation in Christ Jesus, that we might hear things that the average world wouldn't hear, the average liberal church would never preach. But this is things that God has hid away in His Word, and He gives us the wisdom to help us understand it, and He gives us gives wisdom to the wise, gives understanding to those who understand and want to understand, and give the time for that. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and for His sake we pray. Amen.